I love working with Pierce Brosnan and his wife Keely. And we've done a few events for them. And I just they, you know, they their place is in Malibu, right on the beach. It's magical. It's, every time you just drive up, it's magical. They're super nice. They're easygoing. The parties would always have like an amazing guest list. It was always very challenging because the paparazzi always wanted in, and so you always have that.
Welcome to Event Up, the place where people enthusiastic about events stay in the know on the latest trends within the events industry. Live, hybrid, and virtual experiences. From virtual events to conferences, award galas, and everything in between. Here's your host, Amanda Ma.
Hello, welcome to Event Up, the place to get the latest and greatest in event industry news, ideas, and topics. In this episode, we'll be discussing how an event aims to positively influence the lives of its attendees. Today, I'm joined by Marley Major, CEO of The Party Goddess, and I actually had the pleasure of meeting her a few years back at a conference when she had just launched her book. Marley's known for creating the most talked about parties in the year. Marley's the party planning and entrepreneur expert people turn to for all things entertaining, and is a current member of the Forbes Los Angeles Business Council, as well as the North American Academy of Wedding and Event Planning Advisory Board. Thank you for joining us, Marley.
Thank you for having me. This is a total pleasure. I love blasts from the past. That's the best.
Yeah, it's definitely a full circle moment for me here.
I love it. I love it.
So tell us, how did you get started in this industry and end up where you are today?
I grew up in Southern California, and then I went off to Georgetown and got my business degree. My junior year was the summer before my junior year, and I was like, I didn't really have plans, like anything specific. So I decided I was going to go to cooking school in Paris, and I was just going to dawdle around Paris and then have a French tutor and come back. So I came back for my junior year, and it was the very couple weeks into school. And for one of my business classes, I had to do a speech on what I knew more about than anybody else. Well, at Georgetown, that was literally nothing. I was like, there is nothing I know more about. And my mom is like, why don't you just do it on French cooking? Because like, there's no way they know more about that than you with this. So I was like, okay, cool. And I'm doing my topic on French cooking, and I have an interview with the chef from 1789. So I'm interviewing him for the class, and I noticed two things. One, he didn't speak very good Spanish, and I did. So I was like, okay, that's going to be one of my hooks. The second thing was that they had souffles on the menu. And souffles are notoriously difficult for restaurants to have. And I was like, okay, I just spent the whole summer doing souffles. Lord knows, you know, eating plenty of them. So I'm doing my interview. And then I was like, oh, like maybe I could come back, you know, like next week and kind of shadow you. I mean, and I know he's like, well, this is, he's like, fine. So I went back and then like again in full hair and makeup, and I convinced him to like, let me work the salad line and on and on. And then I would just convinced him to hire me. And so I worked there the whole junior year. I would get out of school at 2:30, go to work 3:30, 11:30. And then I was like, okay, now it's been a year and nothing has happened. And so then my senior year, I went to cooking school in Normandy, and I plotted the whole summer how I was going to break up with him. I mean, not break up with him, I had a Freudian slip, how I was going to like quit my job, because I was like, there's no way, you know, been at this for a year and I'm getting nowhere. And so I go and give my notice, and he's like, oh, okay, would you like to have dinner? And so then I got engaged the month after graduation. If you ever want to see a chef, if you're married to them, you better get into the restaurant business. So we got into the restaurant business in California. We bought this property and we gutted it.
Tell us a little bit more about the Party Goddess. I know you started in year 2000, you said?
Yeah, which is mind-blowing that it's been that long, but so what I did was, you know, in those days, it was kind of like, if you put up a website and said you're an event planner, I mean, even kind of these days, there are no barriers to entry, right? Which is the good thing for event planning and the bad thing, because anybody can just say, oh, look, steal somebody's pictures from Pinterest and be like, I'm an event planner. And so I had all this experience because we had, you know, did have a catering company and I had done all this off-premise work. So I knew how to load the trucks and we certainly knew about lighting and DJs and all that other stuff. But in those days, there was a need because the people who you had like high-end event planners for weddings, and then you had like huge corporate event planners, right? You didn't, the everyman didn't exactly have an event planner. Like you wouldn't just, like I'm having my daughter's graduation party and I'm going to hire an event planner. So that was kind of the niche that we went into. And I was like, what if I could pull all these components together of what the big time corporate planner does, but do it for a different audience, granted an audience that had money. And so we started to do that and we certainly did well, but I go back to that whole celebrity component, which was, I didn't just want to do well. Like I had very specific goals and I was like, I want to crush this. And I realized the only way, at least that I saw, to do that was to get celebrities. And I grew up with a lot of wealthy friends. And what always amazed me is that we'd be on spring break and no matter what, we'd be reading magazines, and it was always like, oh, this celebrity is using this lip gloss. This celebrity just went to this resort. And I was like, these girls could, I mean, their family's wealth could like put 100 celebrities to shame, right? But I was always just amazed that everybody was always taken with what jeans they were wearing. And I was like, that's what I need, right? Because that's the currency that the world sees. Unfortunately, it is pretty much still the currency that the world sees. And so I just really was like, this has to be an integral part of my plan. And so it was a very, very, very strategic decision. Like I know some people are like, they're part of families, like entertainment families, and that's how they have the connections. I didn't have any of that stuff. I was like, this is a business decision. And it really changed my whole career because when I got the celebrities and, you know, fortunately, another part of our differential advantage was that we had the warehouse space. We could build the props. We owned a lot of the linen. So like we could really make the event look totally different than anybody else because we owned all the stuff and we could repaint it and, you know, redesign it. And so we had some key differential advantages, but when we did the whole celebrity piece, I think the smartest thing that we did was we leveraged that. And so we just made it as if like, okay, we just did this party and this is before the days of social media, you know, when you could just kind of repurpose things constantly. And then we got known as, oh, she does celebrity events. And then guess what? That was the big deciding factor in how much we could charge. And I just thought, how can I charge the maximum and be perceived that way? And that ticket for me was celebrities. And it really is still to this day. I mean, to this day, it just amazed me. Then, you know, I came out with a book called, But Are You Making Any Money? After my dad made that comment. But it's just amazing to me that you can write a book, you can have the best brain in the world. We still did amazing events before we had celebrities. But then you have a celebrity and all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, sure, well, Fox News, we'll talk to her about the book. No problem, Will. And it's just like, why? But that's how the world works. So that's kind of what I built. Those were kind of the key things I built the business around, other than the basics of, you know, like great service and stuff like that. But
yeah, I love that strategy. I mean, it's definitely a very different angle. And yeah. You're definitely known for that as well.
Yep.
Marley, who does celebrity events. Since you've done so many, I'm so interested to hear what was your favorite then.
You know, I love, love, love working with Pierce Brosnan and his wife, Keely. And we've done a few events for them. And I just, they're places in Malibu right on the beach. It's magical. Every time you just drive up, it's magical. They're super nice. They're easygoing. The parties would always have like an amazing guest list. It was always very challenging because the paparazzi always wanted in. And so you always had that. But I always love working with them. Now, I also, two of the other sweetest people like on the planet are Nick and Vanessa Lachey. And we did a big Halloween party for them. And they are like, I mean, I just could see Vanessa right now, and it's like the softest place to land. You know, that comes across in how they are. But it to me, it's really nice when the celebrity is exactly what they appear to be, like in a good way, you know, in real life, because it does make a big difference. And it people don't realize it makes a big difference in your the output of your product, right? Like how well you connect with the person, whether they're a celebrity or not. But it is, it's interesting.
Yes, definitely. And I agree with what you said about, you know, how they show up is similar to how you kind of perceive them. Because yeah. There's definitely been a celebrity event that, you know, we had to manage before.
It is really interesting how it rolls, but...
What's coming up for you? What kind of events are you working on?
Well, you know, what's really very cool to me is we did an event, and it's so hard for me to believe that it was this long ago, but we did an event almost 9 years ago for the opening of this whole train line in Southern California. And to me, this is the biggest compliment there. As far as I know, there aren't celebrities involved. There's no like glitz, glam. Well, I mean, the press will be there, whatever, but I'm so excited. It's like such a soft place to land because they came back to me and said, hey, listen, we finished the whole line, this whole rail line. And we want to have you have our, you did such a good job. We want to have you have our closing party. And I was like, that is to me so great because it's some of the same people, of course, that were there. And it has a nice, like it's many, many, many months out. And they're so organized. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love you because you know, it's not like, oh, it's in 2 weeks. And guess what? Can you please do this and, you know, dye the elephants pink? So that, but the other thing is too, is, you know, I decided I was going to be a rancher. So I'm kind of incorporating all this sustainability, crazy making stuff into my own ranch in Santa Barbara County, in San Ynez. So that's kind of my other little side project, if you can call it that.
That's so interesting. I love it.
Yeah.
You're diversifying.
When I'm sitting on these meetings with these architects and these engineers, and they're talking about the soil samples and how this, and I'm thinking, I don't think I could have picked anything more complicated if I tried, but I was like, just keep looking at it as one big party to manage and all the moving pieces and the contractor can be the DJ and this one can be the lighting guy. And it really, it does take a lot of the same skills. So you know, even if you're an event planner now and you don't even want to be, or you want to diversify later, let me tell you, these skills are crucial.
Yes. I always say event planner could find almost any job in the world because
100%.
Project manage, right? And we don't just project manage one area. We're project managing 30, 20, 10, you know, there's so many different elements and we have to make sure it all pulls together.
100%. And I always say that like an event planner is basically like a contractor on a large construction site, because it really is slotting all these things, right? Like you have the dance floor is going to get delivered. Oh, but the tent has to be like, are they going to do a subfloor before, you know, this, how does this get layered? Oh, the tent is now going to be laid. Okay. So where are you going to deliver the decor and stage it? You know, it's all these things that you can't just stop. You have to keep the project moving. And the other thing too about event planning is at the end of the day, you know, it is sales, right? It's sales and it's presenting this great foot forward and just being organized and following up. And quite frankly, those are things that are so, to me, skills that are just missing in general. And that's really the way to clean up. I think even in a very competitive market now is just people are like, oh, what's your advice? I'm like, just freaking follow up, be the fastest person to respond and just keep following up. Be like, hey, we're going to do this. Because that's what's missing in the world, as far as I'm concerned, as far as business goes.
Yeah. And I read that you have a very interesting approach, which I feel like is pretty similar to what we do. But, you know, how does your approach in event planning aim to positively influence the lives of others?
Well, what I go into it is, you know, even if it's a funeral, I mean, I go into it and my ultimate goal, actually, it's my ultimate goal for life is that the person, no matter how small or large the interaction, so obviously an event is a big interaction with a lot of different people, is that they feel better or happier than when they walked into the party or met me or whatever it is. And I think if you go in with that and you keep saying, like, how am I going to make my client like happy, whether or proud or excited or just carefree for 4 hours, you know, on a particular night, or it's a wedding and just have it be magical and they don't have to worry about anything. Like, I just keep trying to go in with, if this were me, what would I want right now? And if I'm a bride, like, would I be thirsty? Would I be hungry? Do I need something easy to eat so that my lipstick isn't going to get messed up? You know, do I need, it's just always anticipating. And I think if you're just trying to kind of anticipate whoever is on the other, on the receiving end, and you're just, you see them start looking around, like maybe they need a waiter, like maybe they, it might be they want another drink or drink for the friend. If you keep focusing on what are they going to want in a second before they even realize it, and you keep doing that in all these little incremental parts, I think that's what makes an amazing event, because they leave there, and then all this, like, you know, if you look at the universe as one place or however you put it, but whether they leave and everybody's just like, oh my God, I don't even know what happened, but that was so great, or it was so fun. To me, then I'm like, check the box, I did my job. I might be about to face plant, but I know, hey, listen, okay, for a little while, everybody forgot about what was on the news, and everybody forgot that, you know, this one's dad is sick and this one's this, and we all just kind of came together and created some magic. So that's what I look for. I want magic every single time, no matter on some kind of level.
The magic is important. You know, I think some of the best compliments, I remember doing a hotel launch, mm-hmm. and the investors say, no, we probably just stop by for a little bit, but we're not going to stay. And then at the event, they stay till the very end. I'm like, I thought you were leaving.
Yep. And that's when you're like, yep, you're a rock star. I know it's a huge thing, because you have, I mean, people, you get a ton of invitations. You get, like, especially at certain times of the year, you know, there you can go to this one, you can go to that one, you can go to, I mean, it's just endless. And so when that's the ultimate compliment, that's the biggest compliment that should be on every testimonials. The investors stayed, you know, because they, of all people, they're at the top of the food chain. They don't have to stay. They don't have to do one thing. They're like, check the box. Nobody got food poisoning. Look like they're having fun. I'm out. But for them to actually want to stay, huge compliment.
Yeah, super fun. You know, so many ways that I think for us, as you know, you're talking about creating that attendee experience, making sure they're well taken care of. Yep. I often say, like, we're not mind readers, but we do anticipate what people need.
But we play mind readers on TV. I mean, that's kind of, you can always end with that. And but right, you have to be, you have to. And I think that's one of the traits that makes a really good event planner is I can, if, I mean, you have to be able to read those cues. Like, you have to be able to read when somebody's eyes just start to dart, right? They're in a conversation and you see, if you see them at a distance and you see they're engaged, and all of a sudden you see the head start and you got to be like, wait, what's going on? What, something is up, right? You don't leave a totally engaging conversation. And unless there's an earthquake or you're thirsty or you just spilled something. So if you're constantly sort of right there, like, what can I do? What can I get? And anticipate, that's what makes people feel comfortable. And that's, I think, what makes them keep coming back, because they're like, oh, they can just take a breath. You know, they're just like, this is the soft place to land.
Yeah. And the cues. I love what you mentioned about the cues. Like, even just observing. I mean, that's huge. Right. And people are like, how do you know I want a drink? You're like, your eyes tells me you want a drink.
Well, it's like playing poker, you know, even with the sunglasses on and this and that and the hat, you know, the guys that are really good, they have tells, right? They can tell the mouth does this or the, and in that's how we have to be with our clients and get that good with our environment. It's like, you can just sort of, it's like you feel a little earthquake before it even starts. You don't know how, you just, but to be able to pick up and anticipate, and that's for event planning or that's for anything else, that becomes invaluable, because it's just like, oh, wait a second. Okay. They, they've got to be starving. They haven't eaten. They haven't, you know, what is it? And that takes a lot of practice. And that's why, you know, when people say, oh, well, I can get this done for cheap or whatever, I'm like, knock yourself out. It's not going to be the same experience, but okay, go try. But you can't, those are just things that come with years and years and years and years of experience. And they don't translate to a website to say, hey, I'm going to be able to anticipate that you want another ham sandwich before you know it. You know, you can't, it doesn't come through. But like, as you say, like making people feel better and improving things, that part can come through in the photos and in the testimonials and the past clients. But they won't even exactly be able to always put their finger on it. And that's what costs money.
Well, that's why the experience counts.
Yes, ma'am. There's
so much you could learn from books, but
totally.
Experience that really adds up, and that adds layers into the type of service you provide as well.
Yep. But it's just like we were talking, you know, before about having kids. You know, I've got three kids, and you were talking about how you've got two, and you know, like events, you know what to, you know when to get wound up. Like, you know, the fire marshal is here and he is testing fabric and he doesn't like what he sees, you know, versus the ice is late and it's like, okay, do we have another ice vendor? Like, what are our options? And that's just experience that I don't care. You can read every mom book. You can read every, you know where to put your focus, and you know what to fix and how to make things better and how to stop things from going south.
You talk a lot about skills as well. What do you think is that one skill that has really helped you propel your business? Is that the financial mindset, because you were kind of struggling with that in the beginning, or is there something else, because you seem very dynamic?
Well, so as soon as I pick one, I'm going to get skewered, right? Because like, I'm just thinking, if I were giving this interview or if somebody else were giving it, I'd be like, well, you can't, if you don't have that, you don't have this. So just full disclosure, you have to have certain components like scaffolding, right? But I would say you have to build your business, not based on what you're good at, but based on what the market wants and based on the level of service for what price you can provide that, right? And you have to keep tweaking that until you get those numbers right. Okay. So to me, I'd rather have 200 Instagram followers versus, you know, 100,000, but know that every event I do, I know how much the linens cost, and I know how much I'm going to charge the client, and I know how much time I spend. That's the most important thing, is how much time do you spend doing your tasks? Because most people have no concept how long it takes to do things, right? I mean, just like the client has no idea how long it takes for us to plan a wedding or an event. And so the more aware you can be of your time, which goes, of course, to the bigger picture, which is your numbers, the more successful you'll be. But you constantly have to keep checking in and course correcting, right? You constantly have to be like, okay, I did that event. I thought I was going to make X percentage. And then you kind of have to do the recap. Did I make X percentage? Oh, wait, what happened there? And how can I fix that next time? But it's a constant system of improving what you did before. And that is working on your business, not in it. So maybe if I had to, in a very long-winded way, I would use kind of a catch-all, which is a little bit of a cheat, but I would say you've got to work on your business instead of in it, which is the whole Michael Gerber thing. You've got to be looking at the big picture instead of only just loading the trucks and, you know, ordering the linens. You've got to be like, what's your overarching plan here? And so that's kind of a kitchen sink answer. I realize it's a little bit cheating because it kind of takes a few pieces, but right.
This session is going by so fast. I'm totally enjoying our conversation. As we last question for you, any additional advice that you want to offer to our audience today?
What I would say is stay off social media. I don't really mean stay off social media, because you know, you need to know what's out there, but I would just be, the one thing that makes me so sad that I see so much of is this whole comparison thing of, well, this one is doing this and this one is doing this and they're got this press and they're event, focus, take your lane and focus on what you're amazing at that the market wants, and just put your head down and just keep at it. You know, set your goals and just do not give up and just keep course correcting until you get where you want to go. Because it's a lot of it is corridor thinking, right? It's like here, I'm here and I want to go down the corridor to this door at the end of the hall. And maybe I'm going to get to that door at the end of the hall, right? But you have to be open to say, listen, I wanted to be the biggest event planning company in the world. But along the way, oh, I saw this door and I saw this door. But I wouldn't have encountered those doors if I didn't have my goal of, you know, of X. And I just say, just don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Worry about what you're doing, your numbers, your keep your head down, and then work. And you got, there is no substitute for hard work, period, end of subject, no algorithm, no artificial intelligence. You got to work.
I love it. Such wise advice from Marley. Thank you so much. I think a lot of people just, they wish for something, they want something. And then I'm like, so what did you do to get there? Like, nothing. I just dream of it. Or I just talk about it. I'm like, no, but it needs action. It needs hard work. I think a lot of time people, yeah, especially the industry we're in, Marley, it's, yeah, very sexy from the outside. Oh my God. Okay. This is fast becoming one of my favorite portion of our session today, but this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. And thanks for having the platform. People don't realize how lucky they are to have this, like, access to this kind of advice into what you're doing. So thank you for doing it.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. And like I said, this is a full circle moment for me to see someone and hear, kind of inviting you to our platform to share your wisdom. And everything you shared today was nothing but just sage advice, I would say.
Thank you. Well, as I say, we all need each other. You know, I mean, I can have all the sage advice in the world, but if I'm, you know, shouting in a forest and nobody hears the tree fall over, I mean, so you provide the platform, and then together we pull it off, and together we elevate the industry so that we have these, you know, really good, amazing people doing great events and great work and making people happy at the end of the day. That's the goal.
Yeah, for sure. This is great. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening. Tune in next time on Event Up.